home for every Notre Dame football game.
Goodbye, Brandon Wimbush, 58 yards. Sanders is pulling away with every stride, and he goes in, 92 yards.
Michiana's sports leader, 96.1 FM, WSBT, presents.
Race is on. Josh Adams wins it. Touchdown, Notre Dame, 98 yards. 76-yard touchdown play to Equanimeous St. Brown.
Budweiser's weekday sports beat.
Faulkner breaks one tackle down the near sideline, gets a block, cuts back inside. Touchdown, Faulkner and Mishawaka.
York now in front, Ogilvie. They score! They score! Notre Dame to the Frozen Four! Gets up and in by Rex Kluger with 1.5 seconds left! Notre Dame leads!
Here are your hosts, Sean Stiers and Eric Hansen.
Had a very exciting night, Budweiser's weekday sports beat on Michiana Sports Leader 96.1 FM. WSBT Notre Dame head coach Brian Kelly is in studio with us, and he will be taking your calls all hour long. 282-2696 is the phone number, 282-2696. Along with Notre Dame football insider Eric Hansen, I am Sean Stiers. Darren Pritchett is in Lansing getting ready for South Bend Cubs baseball tonight. That game, I'll go ahead and tell you up front, will be on Z94.3.com. So if you're looking for South Bend Cubs baseball in about 2 hours, that'll be on Z94.3 instead of 96.1 FM WSBT tonight. Eric, hiding over there in the corner. Brian Kelly, I've got line of sight with the head coach, so I guess that's the most important thing right now.
And yeah, the other important thing is to give the area code 574.
Oh. Good point. Thank you very much, Eric. 574-282-2696 in case you are out of town. How you doing tonight, Coach?
I'm doing great. I'm glad you gave the 574 area code because I thought I was on for 10 minutes. Now it's an hour. Okay, I'll go an hour.
And we don't have the call set up and ready to go yet, but we've got somebody calling from Tulsa. So it is a good thing that we gave the area code.
Perfect. That's great.
All right.
And no relationship advice. You can ask football questions, though.
Well, you won't have to ask me. I got a beautiful wife, so I'm in good shape.
Call Eric for the relationship advice.
I actually got that on my live chat yesterday. Somebody wanted to know how to get out of going to his fiance's grandma's wake for his fantasy football draft. He said, how can I get out of that? And I said, but you can't unless you want to be single.
Don't they have iPhones for that?
There you go.
There's got to be an app for that.
That's a good point. Yeah. I think there should be. Well, do we want to take a call? Eric, do you want to start off?
I'll do a real quick question, then okay. We'll go to the calls. Just curious if there's any update on Alohi Gilman. I know we've been in a holding pattern with him for a long time.
Yeah, so we checked with the NCAA, wanting to get the latest. And what we were told as of yesterday is that the Naval Academy has until Monday of next week to file their final brief relative to whether they have an objection to the one-time transfer waiver. They may have already filed it, but that expires on Monday. So we don't know, nor can we expect to hear anything until after Monday. And then let's just assume that it's already in. We get to Monday, 24, 48 hours, because the NCAA knows that they need to act expeditiously. So I think we're probably in mid next week where we should know something on Alohi.
And just a quick follow, is he the guy that you saw on film in your practices? Is he the guy that you saw in live in the Navy game last year?
Yeah, I mean, he's got really good ball skills, comes downhill and can support the run very well. So he's not a one-dimensional player. And that's what we saw on film, a guy that can... we saw him make a very good open field tackle on Josh Adams, as well as play the ball in the air, and he has continued to do that in preseason camp.
Notre Dame head football coach Brian Kelly in studio with us all hour long. He'll be here until 6 o'clock taking your calls. Chris is on the line anxiously waiting to ask Coach Kelly a call. How you doing? Chris from Tulsa, thanks for waiting.
Hey, thank you very much for taking my call.
You've got a question about the recruiting process for quarterbacks. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Hey, Coach, I just wanted to ask, when it comes to recruiting the quarterback position, is there a certain process that you take for seeing these guys? Because being a quarterback at Notre Dame is extremely polarizing. You know, they're on air all the time. They're getting questions all the time. So I'm just wondering if there's a certain process to tell which kind of young men can handle that kind of that pressure.
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, to look at it just from an evaluation standpoint, I think that, you know, we could probably put, you know, 10 guys in a room and all come with a consensus as to who's the best looking quarterback on film. But you have to drill much deeper than that, because they've got to have the character traits of being able to handle what I consider the bright lights of Broadway. This is an on-Broadway show when you come to play quarterback at Notre Dame, and that's the ability to handle the ups and downs of the position. And sometimes getting way too much praise for being the quarterback, and sometimes way too much of the negativity when things don't go your way. So we're really looking for kids that have, you know, a strong confidence level in their ability. Guys that, from a trait standpoint, that on a day-to-day basis are laser focused and can go out and do their job and are not distracted. They can't be looking at the scoreboard, if you will. If they can't be looking in the stands, they can't be reading the newspaper and get distracted. So we have to look at those traits, and that requires us to get in the schools, talk to other coaches, talk to other people that have watched this kid play before we pull the trigger on a quarterback.
Okay. All right, thanks, Chris. All right. Thanks for the call.
Thank you very much. Good luck this season.
Appreciate it. Thanks for the call.
All right, that was Chris from Tulsa. Thanks for the call, Chris. 574-282-2696 is the number. Figure I should say it a little slower. I say it too fast sometimes. So 574-282-2696. And now we're going to go to the other side of the country to Jim from Vermont, who has a question about the psyche of the players for the Temple game. How you doing, Jim?
Doing well, and thank you very much for taking my call. Coach, first of all, best of luck this season. A question I had for you is, knowing the psychology of players and how the outcome of each game affects the next game and so on, if you had a choice, what's best for the team for the Temple game going into Georgia? What kind of game would you like to see in terms of, I'm sure you don't want a blowout, and I'm sure you don't want a squeaker, but what kind of game against Temple would set your guys up best to be ready mentally and psychologically for Georgia?
I really think it's about playing to our traits. And for our football team to have success this year, we have to do the little things right. And look, I think there's enough talent on our football team, and there probably has been in most of the years that I've been the head football coach here. But it always comes down to the little things. The really good football teams that we've had have really paid attention to those things. And whether it's been a smart football team that has done the little things right in close games to find ways to win, or has not been distracted either off the field or on the field, or, as I mentioned to you earlier, a great attention to detail. If our football team goes into Temple and exhibits those kinds of traits, regardless of what the score is, whether we win by 10 or 50, if those traits are displayed the right way, I think that puts us in a great mindset moving forward going into the Georgia game.
Well, that sounds good. Well, again, thank you for taking the call, Coach. And, again, best of luck this year.
Thanks for the call.
Thanks for the call, Jim. And, again, the phone number is 574-282-2696. We have a couple other callers standing by, and we will go right now to Justin in Elkhart, who looks like he has a recruiting question as it pertains to Indiana players. How we doing there,
Hello.
Justin?
Hello, Coach. I would just like to say a good luck this football season, and I hope you guys have a good football season and make it to a bowl game this year. And my question is, do you guys have any football players on the teams this year that are going to be starting that are from Indiana, that played high school football in Indiana, or do you have any guys that could possibly be playing, or any guys coming up through the ranks that could be playing here in the near future from Indiana? And also, what do you think about the level of talent of high school football players in Indiana as opposed to the rest of the country? And I will hang up and listen to your answer.
Well, you know, I would even bring it even closer. You know, Michiana has got players that can play at Notre Dame. And, you know, we're recruiting this Michiana area to find players that can play at Notre Dame. You know, I think if you look at our roster in itself, we've got six players out of state of Indiana. Fort Wayne's been really good to us. I mean, you know, Tyler Eifert, pretty good player in the NFL. Of course, we're all excited about the anticipated return of Jalen Smith in the NFL coming off of the injury that he had. But I think a number of guys out of Indianapolis, Asmar Bilal is a young man out of Indianapolis, Ben Davis High School, that you're going to see a lot this year. But Drew Tranquil, I think out of Fort Wayne, is a guy that we've recruited that I think is going to have an outstanding year for us. So Indiana's been really good to us. I think when you look at what we've done in recruiting, I think we've been really good within 600 miles of campus and have pulled the guys that make sense relative to fit for us. And I think we've done really well from that perspective. And then we've gone across the country to find other players that certainly have fit at Notre Dame. But I think the Michiana area this year is going to prove to have some really good players, and quite frankly, Indiana has been really good to us.
574-282-2696 is the phone number. Brian Kelly taking your calls this hour. I wanted to, since you brought up the since the question about the Indiana players, you brought up Jalen Smith. He is going to play the first time tomorrow since that Fiesta Bowl, and I know you knew that he would work hard to get back, but realistically, after seeing that injury and finding out what exactly that injury was, did you think that he had much of a shot to be able to play again?
Well, I had inside information. We knew the doctor who did the surgery, who was the same doctor that did Jarrett Grace's surgery, one of the surgeons from the Cowboys. So it doesn't surprise you that the Cowboys took him, because you know, he certainly did the surgery and knew that the type of injury that it was, that the nerve was going to regenerate, it was going to take time. And who in the NFL has time on their hands other than maybe a guy like Jerry Jones?
Right.
And the only other guy that called me was Bill Belichick. So there were two people that had time and would invest in a great player like Jalen. And not just a great player, but a great kid. What made this happen was certainly his mental approach to it.
Right.
He took the positive side in everything that he was going to get through this, and that's why we're going to see him play Saturday and play probably at a very high level.
Everything that I've seen on the video says it's going to be pretty high, so I think we're all looking forward to that tomorrow.
Looking for that slap of the ground after a big play.
That's right.
Sean, a quick follow-up from me on Justin's question. I've got a chart that actually has where the players have come from during your time. And not including the current recruiting cycle, Indiana is fifth on the list, fifth most recruits with 13, behind only Florida, Ohio, California, and Illinois. And there's Coach Kelly, can't mention it, Justin, but there's a running back in the current class that's from Indianapolis.
That's pretty good. I think that says a lot about, you know, recognizing that, number one, you know, for Notre Dame, if there is a player in this area, we should be on him. And if he fits Notre Dame, we need to get him, and we need to get him to play here at Notre Dame.
Absolutely. All right, we've got Jack from Erie, Pennsylvania. He has been patiently standing by, and it looks like Jack has a question about Brandon Wimbush and running the football. How you doing, Jack?
Good. Thanks for taking the call, and hello, Coach. But real quick, I just want to say that we're thrilled that you got Bo Bauer. Went to my high school, and we're really excited. He's a hell of a linebacker, and he's going to be a great player, so I'm excited about that. But my question is that given, you know, last year you ran Kaiser a lot, given that you had an experienced backup behind him. I'm wondering if you would be hesitant maybe to run Wimbush more with the straight quarterback runs, given the lack of experience this year because everyone left like behind him. Will you maybe not run as much option given, you know, the potential for injury there?
I think the nature of the offense and the way it's crafted this year with three running backs, puts us in a different light than it did maybe last year where, you know, we featured an offense that really wanted to look at maybe a throwing the football down the field and, you know, featuring some wide receivers and, you know, a big-bodied quarterback and having two of them. This year, it is a little bit different from that perspective. We want to get the ball in the hands of where we consider three running backs that can make plays for us. I don't know that we go into the game trying to protect Brandon, but it's not our first call to think about getting the ball to Brandon Wimbush in a running situation. Our first thought is to really go to the strength of our offense. And we've got depth at tight end. We've got very capable wide receivers. And like I said, an outstanding offensive line. So Brandon Wimbush doesn't come to the top of the list when we're talking about running the football. He's going to naturally run the football, but I don't think that we have to force it this year in this offense.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Thanks for the call, Jack. I think we'll take one more, and then we'll take our first time out. Brian Kelly is taking your calls this hour on Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat, 96.1 FM, WSBT. And our next man patiently standing by is Chris from Syracuse. And he has another surprise recruiting question, and this one is about quarterback. How you doing, Chris?
Good. Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate all you do, Coach Kelly. Looking forward to a great season.
Same here.
Would like to expound a little bit on when you do go recruit quarterbacks, do you look at the team that you project that you're going to have in the future as far as what type of quarterback you're looking for? I guess what I'm saying is, do you project looking for a pro set quarterback or more of an option quarterback, depending on the team that you think you'll have?
Yeah, I don't think the team that we're going to have is really comes into the thought process. The quarterback himself, his skills can vary a bit. It doesn't necessarily have to be a quarterback that is a dual threat. I think that term is used quite a bit in recruiting evaluations. He could be a pro-style quarterback, provided he has enough mobility and escapability at the quarterback position. But as I said to an earlier caller, after he passes the eye test relative to his ability to throw the football and the athletic traits, he's got to have those other intangibles. He's got to have the characteristic traits. He's got to have that ability to handle the moment at a Notre Dame. He's got to be able to have that leadership trait that all great quarterbacks have to have. So it's much more than just maybe whether he's a pro-style quarterback or a dual threat. It's about those other traits that we're looking for, so much more than projecting what the other players around him are going to look like.
No, that makes great sense. We talk a lot of culture in my line of business, and we hire on cultural traits, and we can teach the other parts. So, great answer. I appreciate what you do, and you all have a great night. Thank you.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Chris. All right. So, we'll take our first time out. Jason is patiently standing by, and we'll get him. He'll be first up after we take this time out. Brian Kelly, the Notre Dame head football coach, taking your calls. He's in studio with us for another 35 minutes here on Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat, 96.1 FM, WSBT. We're brought to you by Legacy Heating and Air and by Budweiser. Great times are waiting. Grab some Buds. We'll take a time out, and then Brian Kelly will take more calls tonight.
Your home for every Notre Dame football game is also your home for Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat. Michiana's sports leader, 96.1 FM, WSBT.
Notre Dame football insider Eric Hansen, Sean Stiers, and of course, Head football coach Brian Kelly in studio taking your calls all hour long. We have 31 more minutes of Budweiser's weekday sports beat.
Can we go 2 hours?
I thought it was 10 minutes. We might as well go 3 hours.
Just let the thing rip?
No, we've got high school football tonight, don't we?
We do have high school football.
I run straight from here to Steel Stadium. So
absolutely.
Literally run. Making me jog over there tonight. Brian Kelly taking your questions here tonight, and Jason has hopefully been patiently standing by. He has been standing by, though, and he has a pretty detailed recruiting question. Go ahead, Jason.
In my call, we talk a lot about recruiting players to play on the field, but I'm curious to know how you have recruited for your coaching staff. These guys are obviously play incredibly pivotal roles in the success of the team, but don't know too much about your thought process for identifying talent to for your staff.
Are you referring to recruiting a particular position for a position coach? Is that your question?
Well, like Coach Elko and the other position, you know, OC and DC, how have you identified who the right people are to come in and lead those groups and those functions for the team?
Yeah, so, you know, clearly, you know, those decisions are ones that I made back in January. And, you know, when we're talking about leadership positions and recruiting, part of the process of vetting out the hiring is they have to understand through the fit evaluation, you know, what we're looking for at Notre Dame. It's not just about the talent. It's about who can fit at Notre Dame and who can do well in our university setting. So each coach that I hire, each coach that I bring on board has to clearly understand who fits at Notre Dame. That's number one. And then they have to know, you know, based upon their personalities, what kind of players will grow under their teaching and under their methods. For example, Mike Elko is a teacher of the fundamentals. And so when he's sitting down with a young man, he's going to be talking about their attention to detail and understanding the fundamentals in the recruiting process. When it comes to Chip Long, he wants somebody that is passionate and loves to play the game. If you're falling asleep in a meeting with Chip Long about offense, you probably are not a great fit for coaching with and being at Notre Dame under Chip. So each coach has a personality that fits, and then they have to understand the kind of players that we need to bring to Notre Dame. So it works both ways, if you know what I mean.
Gotcha. Thank you. And in terms of the players, the new coaches are really resonating with the players, and we read a lot about how they're very impressed with and appreciating the new staff. I'm curious, is it difficult for the guys that left the staff to hear that? And how do you maintain relationships, or do you, with the folks that moved on?
Well, some of it, you know, always naturally occurs with change, and most all the coaches that are left are highly professional coaches that are, you know, committed to, you know, this profession and teaching, and really are back at, you know, their next job and are working and doing great things wherever they are. So, you know, I think a lot of it has to do with just the newness of it. And then, you know, clearly when there's some change, you're going to see new personalities that may fit better with the players. And again, I think at the end of the day, in this profession, you're going to get a little bit of that. And the professionalism always kind of rises to the top in these kinds of occasions.
Got it. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thanks for the call, Jason. That was Jason from Los Angeles. And now it looks like we are going to Oklahoma City. Noah is standing by and has a question for Brian Kelly.
Brian Kelly, my man. How's it going, Brian Kelly?
Very good. Sounds like you're from Oklahoma City.
Yes, sir. I want to shout out my dad, Rod Niedershue. You know, he was a big-time fan when he was younger, and I thank God he is a big-time fan of Notre Dame because Notre Dame's the greatest place on earth.
Awesome. Glad to hear that.
All I just want to say, Brian, excuse me, is that you're a big-time coach, and I can't wait to see us roll this year. All I got to say is I just can't wait. You're awesome, and Thank you.
Well, thanks for calling. And if you'd like to call back in about 30 seconds, we'll take your call again. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brian. Go Irish.
All right. Say, brother.
Thanks, Noah. I thought we were going to get a roll Irish or something there for a second.
Fine.
I know. All right. Very good call from Oklahoma City with Noah. And it looks like Jim from right here in town is next.
This should be my brother, too. I mean, that's just right. My other brother calling.
Got all the family standing by.
I got them all in the queue.
How you doing, Jim? Thanks for calling. Coach Kelly's
waiting. Hey, hi, Coach.
Question.
In the past, it's been said that Notre Dame is not, teams are not intimidated by coming to Notre Dame Stadium. Hopefully, they will be from now on. Do you think that new stadium, with the, supposedly the noise will be louder, and with the video board, it's going to help a lot?
Yeah. Jim, I think that the atmosphere is going to be created by, number one, the football team we put on the field. It's going to be a physical football team. It's going to be one that I think defensively will intimidate you in terms of, you know, taking the football away. We're going to play smart, play physical football. And at the brand of football, I think, will be the first intimidating factor. I think also the upgrades that we've made in the stadium with the enhancements make it for an atmosphere where people want to get into the game. Make no mistake about it, the things that have been done to that stadium will make it a quality environment for you to want to be involved in the game. You're not going to be looking at your phone. You're going to be looking at the Jumbotron. You're going to be looking at the product on the field. And I do believe that it'll create an incredible environment in that stadium. So start with the product that you put on the field and then back it up with the amenities that have been put into that stadium. I think it's going to make a great atmosphere this fall.
I do too. Thanks a lot, Coach.
You're welcome.
Brian, following up, do you sense that the acoustics are different? I know Michigan's changed when they added structures to their stadium. Same architect designed both stadiums.
Yeah, the acoustics are different. I think what we found is the wind in the stadium definitely changes things. You know, we really, quite honestly, haven't had it with the house being, you know, full. But Sunday, we could have 10, 15,000 people in there with the music and the Jumbotron, and my bet will have an exciting and vibrant atmosphere. We just had, you know, last week, our first time in the stadium, which I think you were there for the first five periods, and just having the music in there, it's just a different vibe, you know. It reminded me when I bought my first stereo in college after having, you know, a crackling FM radio compared to that first new stadium. It just changes everything. Your mood changes, and that's the kind of environment in the stadium, which I think is just going to create a great atmosphere.
The only thing that I thought was lacking is I did not hear Crazy Train over the sounds.
Well, I will tell you, you know, we have a group that is quite professional in handling the music and the board. It's you're going to have to dig real deep to hear Crazy Train. though I am told that some of the music that you and I like is going to be part of the song list. So it's going to be pretty exciting.
Really quick on music. Mike Elko didn't know who Steely Dan was, and he went to the same high school as Donald Fagen.
Wow. Yeah, well, you know, he might have been drawing up some defensive coverages at that time.
Okay, we'll forgive him.
574-282-2696 is the number to call. We got Bill on hold. I wanted to, since we're on the subject of the stadium, though, real quick, because the players had obviously got to get on the field for the first time, and they've been around, they've seen the locker room. What do you think that excited them the most of all the things that they saw over there?
Well, the board jumps out at you, right? I mean, that's the first thing. But I think there's a comfort level in that they know that the entire stadium, you know, we've been up in the Danke and Downs ballroom, you know, certainly in our own locker room, the North Tunnel area, the Chivarelli Lounge. I think there's just a feeling that they're... there's an investment in them in a sense, right? That that they feel good about themselves in a sense that Notre Dame football is being invested in. And that might sound trite in a sense, but you know, when they walk around, they feel real good about themselves that, that Notre Dame football has these upgrades and they're tangible and they see them. And it changes the way they come to work every day.
All right. Bill from St. Joe, Michigan wants to talk a little goal line offense with Brian Kelly.
Okay, let's talk goal line offense.
Okay, my question is, which I'm sure has been asked many times to Eric Hansen during the chats, and it's when you're when you're near the goal line, are you planning on having the quarterback under center or being in the shotgun?
We're going to have him under center.
Excellent, excellent. Because sometimes those guys on the edge, these quick guys on the edge, can really, really kind of catch the halfback before he gets close to the line. So that's great news, and I'm very happy about that.
Yeah, I think, you know, when we look at our offense, you know, inside probably the you know, the 5-yard line, you know, down in distance, we'll predicate it. But we think we've got an offense of line and tight ends that we can get our quarterback under center and exert our will and pound that football in there. And, you know, there's not a lot of offensive lines that can do that. With so much RPO, you know, it makes up for these smaller offensive lines that can kind of cheat and get downfield. We think we've got an offensive line that can knock you off the ball and get back to some really physical football. So getting the quarterback under center makes sense for us to do that.
Thank you very much for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much, Bill. And we'll take one more call, and then we'll take another break here. It looks like we have Josh in Cass, Michigan, wanting to talk a little bit about your quarterback, Brandon Wimbush.
Sounds good.
Well, did we lose him?
You there, Josh?
I think he might have hung up before we got him on. We will try one more time. Nope. We'll see if we can get Josh back. 574-282-2696. And we'll go ahead and take a timeout, and maybe we'll get Josh back by the time we get back from that break. Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat on Michiana Sports Leader 96.1 FM WSBT. Head coach Brian Kelly taking your calls for another 18 and a half minutes here before we wrap things up. Eric Hansen, Sean Stiers, let's take a timeout and then back with more Brian Kelly on Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat. Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat rolls on Michiana Sports Leader 96.1 FM WSBT. It is 5:45, and a programming note once again, don't forget that South Bend Cubs baseball is on Z94.3 FM tonight. We have Mishawaka Caveman football starting in a little bit less than 2 hours, about an hour and 45 minutes from Steel Stadium. And Darren will be along with you for hour two of Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat tonight. With us in studio tonight, Fighting Irish head coach Brian Kelly, taking your calls, 574-282-2696. Before we go further, though, Coach, Michael Birch, who's here with you from Media Relations, was giving me a hard time earlier for taking 20-plus minutes to get a Cowboys question. And so I just wanted to thank you first for sending DeShone Kizer to Cleveland so anyone has a reason to talk about the Browns at any point.
Well, believe me, we hear about Cleveland every day
because
Mike
right.
walks down and he's got to talk about something Cleveland. If it's not the, you know, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, it's the Cleveland Cavaliers or
that's right,
the Cleveland Indians, or now it's the Cleveland Browns.
All of the
but
above.
I got a reason to root for the Cleveland Browns now, DeShone Kizer.
Absolutely. We'll get to see him Monday night when they play the Giants on ESPN. All right. It is more Brian Kelly in studio with us, and it looks like Kevin from, nope, we go to Joe first. Joe in Phoenix want to ask Brian Kelly a question. Go ahead, Joe. How are you?
Good. How are you guys? Hey, Coach. How's it going?
Good, Joe.
So I don't think it's any secret. Last year there was a lot of very close losses, and also kind of noticed over the last few years the struggle has been kind of putting teams away after jumping out to big leads and kind of those resulting in close losses as well. So what's kind of the plan this year to eradicate those issues?
Well, you got to look at, first of all, you know, this past year was different than maybe the 2-10 year where, you know, we had an opportunity to win a football game at Clemson and we did make a play on the goal line. And then, you know, we were in the prevent-to-win defense against Stanford. Those were different circumstances. Those were, you know, making plays at the end of the game and maybe even tactical errors. This past season was about not having the right traits that were not developed in our football team, and that fell on my shoulders, not developing the right traits. We had won 21 games by 7 points or less in my time at Notre Dame going into last year, and then we lose 7 games. So clearly the plan was to develop those traits necessary to win those close games. You've got to have grit. You've got to have a mental toughness that we lacked, and we went to work on that back in January, installing a leadership group of captains, you know, bringing in a staff that would pay attention to detail as well as players and holding them accountable to get to the point that we are right now. So when we go into games and we have the opportunity to put opponents away, that we're going to have the focus and we're going to have those traits that you need. It doesn't come down to talent in those kinds of situations. It comes down to guys that have the right mindset. And that's the mindset that we've built with this football team. That'll be the difference. And that's what's been, you know, one of the, you know, principles of my career is to win close games. We didn't do that this year, and that was on my shoulders to get that back, and we'll get that back this year.
Thank you, Joe.
Yep.
All right, that's Joe from Phoenix. And a little bit along those lines, Coach, all the coaching changes that you made on your staff, the new strength and conditioning program, just the whole thing, and then all the points that you've kind of been hammering home with your team that you've talked about with us so far. How do you think with all that stuff, all this new stuff that's been introduced to your team 2 weeks to go before the season opener right now, how do you feel they are with all that's been handed to them since things really got started back in the winter with the new conditioning program?
Well, you know, I had to make some changes. You know, I'm a better coach than I was last year. And that was the first thing that needed to happen is that I had to make some changes. You know, I think I had been pretty successful as a coach over 25 years, but I had to make some changes. And the changes that I've made will make us a better football team. We brought in some staff members that I think have proven to be very valuable to the development of our football team up to this point. I'm excited about where we are right now. We got to go play some games. We got to win some games. But, you know, and I'm not going to change in a sense of not being demanding. I'm still going to be demanding. But I've never been demeaning. And that won't change. Who doesn't change, you know? I mean, who doesn't try to grow? I ask my players to grow every day, you know? So you've got to grow as a coach. And certainly last year there was feedback that I needed to take to grow as a coach, and I've done that. I've had to make some tough decisions. I've done that. But I'm excited about where we are as a football team, and, you know, I expect to win every game we play this year.
Brian, I had a quick follow. When did the plan all come together? Because, you know, when I try to figure out when you put all this down, pen to paper or whatever, I think in the same time frame, I decided to buy a Keurig machine, and that was all I could work in there. For you, though, did some of this come to you during the season, and then once you got to the end of the season, everything kind of gelled?
Well, I knew the decisions that I had made leading up to the season itself were flawed and how I put the football team together. So I had already formulated in my own mind some of the changes that I needed to make. So those were some big ones in itself. And then I think it started to come together after I had met with the football team and got some great feedback there. That probably prompted some decisions immediately. I then met with Jack Swarbrick. We sat down. We had you know, a very important meeting, which really had a lot to do with, you know, who can we go get, right? You know, what kind of support will we have to go get the best people out there? And he backed me up 100% to go get the best people out there. So, you know, there was some of it coming together during the season and as the season unfolded. I think right after the season, the feedback that I got from players and support staff, and then, you know, Jack and I sitting down and hammer out maybe the final details of it. So I don't know if there was like one day that, you know, we wrote it all up. But I think it came together over probably, you know, 3, 4, 5 weeks.
Got time for at least a couple more calls. 574-282-2696 is the number to ask Brian Kelly a question before we wrap up this 5 o'clock hour on Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat. Lou from Springfield has a little pep in his step, it sounds like. How we doing, Lou? Did he lose his pep?
This is Kevin.
There he is. Lou, how are you?
This is Kevin from Elkers.
Oh, okay. Hey, Kevin, how you doing?
Hey, Coach, shout out to Sean and Eric for all the great stuff they bring us on ND Insider. We sure appreciate what they do for us. Coach,
thank you.
This feels like a really special year starting to brew. I've got so many questions, but you just made me think of a big one. 2012 reminds me a lot of the preseason of what we're going through right now. You had probably the greatest leader, one of the greatest leaders ever at Notre Dame, playing middle linebacker for you that year with Manti Te'o. Can you comment to anybody this year that might be that kind of leader that's going to help carry your team? I think some games that he single-handedly carried you guys, and I'll never forget the reaction in the tunnel after the USC game between him and you.
Yeah, special kid. Hard to think of somebody that had a presence that touched the entire team the way he did. There's somebody that cuts across both the offense and defense like nobody else, and that's probably Drew Tranquil. He has an influence on the entire football team. But I think what's special about this group is that maybe they're the greatness in this leadership group is that there's a number of guys together as one make it as strong of a group as that we've had, because you've got guys like Quentin Nelson and Mike McGlinchey that came back from, you know, came back. They could have been number one draft picks and came back for a reason. They came back for Notre Dame to bring Notre Dame back to where it should be. And so that presence is very powerful and strong amongst all of our players. They're playing for Notre Dame because they set that example. And that's a big piece. And then you have, an Austin Webster, who's a walk-on captain that brings the passion of Notre Dame. So there's some really cool pieces that makes it a leadership group that can carry the weight of a Manti Te'o, but just in a different way.
Coach, there's going to be only one thing that's going to make the stadium improvements better than what they are now. You know what that is?
Win every game.
And when they put that statue of you up on in the walkway to win a championship.
Well, we're here to graduate them all and win a national championship, and I think there's still some green marble left, so we'll hold out for that.
You look good. They won't do that one.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for the call.
Thanks, Kevin. Great. I think, Coach, the line of camp so far is the one that Eric was talking about the other day from your defensive line coach, Mike Elston, about Quentin Nelson.
Yeah.
The lie detector.
Yeah.
How are guys, is it, I don't think it's very easy to pass that lie detector test, is it?
No, I mean, there's nowhere to hide.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the one thing that defensive linemen and offensive linemen have a general respect for each other is that they don't do drills that don't get noticed. their drills are noticed by everybody because everything they do results in some kind of collision. You know, you can do ball drills and you can do back pedal drills, but when it comes to O-line and D-line, you're hitting something. And Quentin Nelson and the way he plays the game is unmatched to anything that I've seen.
Darren actually texted me and wanted to ask a question.
Yeah, let's get it in.
Well, you're going to think it's my question because it's an injury question.
No, we got it.
Alize Jones, what's his health status right now?
Well, today he was able to participate in 7-on-7 and do some things. We're just going to be really careful with him. He'll probably play Sunday, you know, maybe 12, 15 plays max. But he's fully cleared. There's no sense of putting him in a high-stress situation right now because he's in a great position. We've got 2 weeks, so we're just going to be very careful with him. We'll play him a little bit on Sunday, but he's good to go.
Do you like his attitude?
Love it. Love everything about him. Everything that he's doing has been outstanding.
Well, the other thing, I guess we have just a little bit less than a minute, but on the subject of the defensive line, I mean, Mike Elko really excited, it sounded like, when we got to talk to him the other day. Are you as excited as he is from what you've seen?
I just think Mike Elston has done one incredible job working with those young men. They use their hands so well to get two freshmen ready, and Myron and Kurt is outstanding. And then the progress that the Hayes boys have made on the outside. And, of course, they're not brothers, but just a great job.
All right. Brian Kelly, thanks again for coming in with us tonight.
My pleasure. Thanks, guys, for having me.
Eric Hansen, Sean Stiers, Darren Pritchett will be along for Hour 2 of Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat. We appreciate all the calls tonight with head coach Brian Kelly. And, of course, the season opener is 2 weeks from tomorrow when Notre Dame takes on Temple. And you'll hear it right here on Michiana Sports Leader 96.1 FM WSBT.